Support for The Front Porch comes from the Charleston Gazette-Mail, providing both sides of the story on its dueling editorial pages. Check it out at wvgazettemail.com. Welcome to The Front Porch. I'm Scott Finn, Executive Director of West Virginia Public Broadcasting. And we're going to talk today about right to work in West Virginia. It's passed the Senate, expanding broadband and whether the state government should get involved in that. And then we have, instead of a Bible quote from Rick Wilson today, we have something from King Lear about storms. So looking forward to that. I am joined, of course, by Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee, who's joining us by phone from the Stormpocalypse. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Scott. I'm in an undisclosed location.
It's your house.
Well, yeah.
And Whitney Burdett formerly covered the legislature and now is an editorial writer with the Charleston Daily Mail. Hey, Whitney, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. And she's filling in for Lori Lynn, who is having a baby.
So, yes, we need to send a big congratulations to the Lynn family. They welcomed their third son yesterday afternoon. So congratulations.
Hey, Lori. I hope you're listening. I'm very happy for you and for Albert. All right, well, let's get started. Let's dive right in. Right to work has been Senate Bill number one, literally. It's a huge fight in the legislature. Passed the legislature, 17-16, will go on to the House. And it led to some pretty contentious debate. We're going to start with Senator Carnes, who had some words for some of the people from the unions that have been watching this fight at the state capitol and from the galleries.
People who support right to work, they're out working. The free riders are right up there.
Chamber will be in order.
What we saw in Wisconsin whenever they recently passed right to work was a reduction in union membership, but what does that represent? That represents people who were tired of being misrepresented by the union. So they dropped out. So right to work does not kill unions, but what it does do is it forces unions to represent the members in a real way and not in a contrived way.
I would say it's almost a new low when a senator insults citizens who come there to watch the proceedings of the legislature.
But what about his larger point that this is not going to necessarily hurt unions, it's just going to make them more accountable?
I think over time what it will do is result in sort of a slow lowering of labor standards. It's the kind of thing you won't notice right away, but you will when they're weakened because, you know, if you reduce membership, you'll reduce the ability of unions to represent people or to negotiate, so there'll be less to negotiate and represent. So it's sort of a downhill slide.
What about the argument that's been made that, hey, we've not had right to work and it, you know, hasn't seemed to help the state economically? You know, why not try this? Maybe this would attract new business to the state.
Well, I mean, you might be having trouble with your, stomach, but amputating your hand might not necessarily be the best way to deal with that. And again, if you look, I think it's interesting, Politico a year ago, maybe 2014, looked at quality of life with several indices, and, you know, right-to-work states did not come off very well in terms of that, so I don't think it's a cure-all.
Well, Whitney, the Charleston Daily Mail editorial page, of course, has come out in favor of right-to-work. Mm-hmm. Do you think that this is the issue we should be talking about right now when it comes to economic development, or one of the main issues?
I certainly think it's one of the main issues. I mean, you know, we look at the list and we see where West Virginia ranks in comparison to other states across the nation, and we generally don't fare very well. So, I mean, to us, as the Charleston Daily Mail editorial board, it's sort of, you know, one of the issues, you know, it's not a cure-all, like Rick said, but this is something that I think we need to look at to, in addition to other things, to see how they will help West Virginia's economy. And, you know, in a few years from now, if we see that right to work or repeal prevailing wage or whatever else may come about doesn't work, then, you know, the legislature certainly has the right and the ability to go back and to change those things. So maybe we see how it works for a little bit, and if we see that it's not helpful, then go back and change it.
As far as West Virginia's needs, we have the lowest educational attainment in the nation. You know, we have low workforce participation. We've gone through waves of deindustrialization. Mining employment has been on the decline really since the end of World War II, but it's taken another sharp dip. Our roads and infrastructure are pretty bad, again, from roads to broadband. So I think going after anti-worker measures is probably not the best way to move forward.
There are lots of other things we could talk about, but Whitney, you've taken a special interest in the issue of broadband in West Virginia. And right now, as you're hearing the crackle of the phones, you're hearing the issue that a lot of people face in rural areas and Rick is facing right now, which is less than ideal service, frankly. And there's a bill by Senator Chris Walters to provide some sort of a backbone for broadband for the state that the state would help finance. Supposedly it would pay for itself over time, so it wouldn't cost the taxpayers anything.
Well, I certainly commend Senator Walters for this bill and for taking a special interest in looking at this issue. I think it's an issue that affects a lot of West Virginians that just sort of flies under the radar in a way. That said, you know, the way that he has proposed paying for this network might not be the best way. You know, we look at the state's budget constraints, and the legislative process will take care of that. You know, other senators will certainly get a chance to look at the bill, to offer their thoughts on it, to make amendments, to answer questions, and to improve the bill. And hopefully, at the end of the day, we will have something that allows people like Rick and others in rural West Virginia to connect to high-speed, reliable broadband internet.
I'm not so sanguine about the forces that are arrayed, I guess, against Walter's bill. Frontier, some of the cable companies, the people who provide access right now to internet have come out against this entirely. They say that, you know, the private sector can do this itself without any government intervention. And I do find it interesting that this is coming from, you know, a Republican, but it's a Republican who's saying that this is an issue like roads, like electricity, like water, that we cannot leave to the private sector. So that, I guess, Whitney, that's my big question is this something that we should leave mostly to the private sector, or is this something that requires government intervention?
You know, I think it actually might be a little bit of both because, I mean, we have seen some private sector investment in broadband. You know, in Eric Ayer's story on Thursday, he listed a few examples of Suddenlink and Time Warner and other, you know, big boys who have sort of taken on this issue and have attempted to expand broadband. But even they admit that not everyone, you know, at the end of the 5-mile dirt road way out there, you know, in rural West Virginia will receive the same benefits of broadband connection. They just, it's just impossible for them to connect those homes to the network. And, you know, government intervention, you know, sort of flies in the face of Republican principles in general, but I like Walter's point that broadband internet connection is just as important as running water or electricity. When you have a business that depends on, you know, connecting to the world around you and you can't, you know, like I said earlier, that affects your business, that affects the economy, it affects growth in West Virginia. And these businesses and corporations that we try to attract from out of state are going to see that and say, oh, West Virginia, you know, you can't connect to the internet there. We're not going to expand our business there. You know, I mean, it can have a really negative effect on the state.
You know, and Whitney, since you're new to the show, I think we're going to try something a little bit different today. We usually have a Bible verse from Rick Wilson. But,
okay.
But Rick, you want to shake it up a little bit, right?
Yeah, I thought... So at the time of this recording, and again, sorry for the static, folks, that's the sound of rural West Virginia. People all over the state are bracing for a storm right now. We don't know if it's going to be, you know, we're all hoping it'll be less bad than predicted, but it could be otherwise. And I'm thinking in King Lear, there's a story of a king who's kind of arrogant and who loses his throne through that. And he has to walk through the snow himself the way poor people do. And he actually feels it for the first time. And I think there have been stories in the news lately, like about the homeless shelter, the tent city in Charleston being torn down, or about moves against positions of workers, about taking away SNAP benefits from people, about drug testing women on welfare, that there seems to be a kind of beat down from the wealthy upon the people who are less wealthy. And here's the line from King Lear. Again, it's Act 3, Scene 4 for Shakespeare buffs out there. Sorry, I can't do like a Richard Burton on this. You guys ready?
All right, I'm ready. Take it nice and slow.
I'm going to hit it. Poor naked wretches, wheresoe'er you are, that bide the pelting of this pitiless storm, house you your houseless heads and unfed sides, your looped and winded raggedness defend you from seasons such as these. Oh, I have taken too little notice of this. Take physics, pomp. Expose thyself to feel what wretches feel, that thou mayest shake the superflux to them and show the heavens more just. Take physic, pomp means that rich folks need to take medicine and feel what other folks feel so that they can pursue a more just course.
So, Rick, what are you doing to ride out the storm right now?
Well, you know, we're probably going to lose water, electricity, phone. My internet's already gone, so hoarding water for people and animals. I got plenty of coffee and wine laid in. You know, we got firewood. We can cook. We can't heat the whole house, so the big pain is going to be the well. And they don't plow roads out here, and they're probably going to be trees down. So I'm looking for a long haul.
How about you, Whitney?
Well, I went grocery shopping Wednesday, got all my milk and bread. We're home. We live just outside of Charleston in city limits of Marmette.
You're a Marmetian?
I am a Marmetian, yes. By choice. We just moved here about a year and a half ago.
Well, the Finn family plans much, much sledding. My son is merciless. It's like every couple hours we go out again, so that's what I'll be doing. Well, and you've been listening to The Front Porch with Whitney Burnett, who's editorial page writer for the Charleston Daily Mail, and Rick Wilson, who is the source of all of the buzz and the fuzz out in Milton trying to ride out the storm with the American Friends Service Committee. Whitney, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, Rick, hold on through this storm, and we'll see you next week.
That's the plan. Thanks.
All right, take care, y'all. Bye-bye. And we're in the middle of our chocolate challenge here at West Virginia Public Broadcasting. It is a great way to give a box of Hall's chocolate made here in West Virginia to somebody that you love. It could be a coworker, it could be a family member, it could be your partner, your spouse. It's a wonderful way to say, I love you. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. And so order your box of chocolates, and you can let that person know that you supported West Virginia Public Broadcasting as well. It's so easy to do. Just call this number, 1-800-RADIO-87. That's 1-800-RADIO-87. Or check it out online. Order your box of chocolates at wvpublic.org. And do it soon, because this offer is only available for a short time.